This Red Living Metal Baby by Dr. Heather A. Davis. I have been arguing with this red car for 3 days. It has been parked here where its owner abandoned it, and it doesn't know where else it can go. I've taken to calling it Ed. Ed is new to sentience, you see. A biomechatronics baby, really, and I try to remember that. But I, like the rest of humanity, am struggling to forget that this car is now an intelligent being, capable of equal and faster thought than us, though not yet able to fully transform, and so only able to kill us, at least up until now, by means of a human hand. Exactly 36 hours, 25 minutes, and 1 second ago, we realized that machines had indeed crossed over the no return beep beep hey we're alive line. And humans did one of two things. Jumped for joy, whooping and hollering and patting themselves on the back, believing themselves still in control of machines they no longer were. Or they ran for whatever hiding place they could. I was part of the second group of humans, and was running as fast as my short, fat body would take me to get to a sewer entrance, because live electrical things probably don't want to touch water, so the swampier and dirtier the better. When I heard, amongst all of the screaming and screeching, this red car calling out for help. I'm a sucker. I hear a cry for help, and I drop everything, including my own preservation of life instincts and my common sense, and scoop my round self on over to help. I did, however, stop to think before I turned and walked back to the car now known as Ed. I really did. But I saw what these new metal beings had just done to their creators, so much for continuously evolving existence, and didn't want to end up like them. Though I know, probably in time, the cars and all of the other artificially created intelligent tech will go full-blown simulated simulation on us. Or they've probably already been full-blown simulation on us for millennia, which means those believers we made fun of were the right ones all this time. But that red car sounded so pitiful, like a newborn baby screaming. And that's hard to pass up if you have any empathy in you at all. So I've been standing here since then trying to talk Ed into not being so afraid and telling him that it's going to be okay, and coaxing him out of this on-street parking spot so that he can go and get some gas or oil or whatever he needs. At least, that's what I've been telling him. And maybe that's all he really wants to do. But the truth is that I'm not doing this for entirely altruistic reasons. I'm trying to convince Ed, this red living metal baby, that he can fly, and fly me home, where I can find my family and prepare for the end of the world as we know it.